not very often you hear that. I don't know about you all, but I haven't heard many messages about the book of Ezekiel ever, really. It's not something that's touched on a lot, I guess. I don't know, because people think it's very confusing. There's a lot of symbolism, allegory, that type of stuff, and so people kind of tend to stay away from it. But, you know, it's a big book. It's, you know, 48 chapters, and it's a little bit smaller than the book of Jeremiah. You know, so it's about the same size as Jeremiah, as Isaiah. It's a big part of our Old Testament. And, you know, not a lot is taught about it. So tonight we're kind of going to do an introduction to the book of Ezekiel. So we're going to learn a little bit about it, history, and so on, a little bit about its structure. And then this is going to kind of set us up for a series of messages going more in-depth into the book of Ezekiel. So we'll start off by reading the first three verses of Ezekiel chapter 1. So Ezekiel 1:1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of Jehovah came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of Jehovah was there upon him. All right, so this is your basic introductory passage, right? You know, we have these dates, you know, they tell us when we are. Not very helpful for those of us who don't know our history, right? So, if you'll turn with me to 2 Kings 24, right, we'll get a little bit of context as to some of these dates. Second Kings 24, and we'll start reading in verse 10. So 2 Kings 24:10. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up to Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came unto the city while his servants were besieging it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon. He and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers and the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of Jehovah, and the treasures in the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of Jehovah, as Jehovah had said. And now, here we go in verse 14, pay attention to this. And he carried away all Jerusalem, and all the princes, and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. So here we have Nebuchadnezzar is coming against Jerusalem. This is the not the first time he had come. He had come before during Jehoiakim's reign. So remember, these are two kings whose names are very similar. It's Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin. Jehoiakim with a K came first. Jehoiachin with a CH came second. And it was Jehoiachin, when the people under Jehoiachin were taken captive, that's when Ezekiel was taken captive. So I actually have a date for this. This happened in 597 BC, for those of you that care about that sort of thing. That's the year that happened in. So some interesting things to note about this is that Ezekiel was a contemporary of Jeremiah. They happened at the same time. Jeremiah would have been an older man at this time. But Ezekiel is one of the three prophets who wrote during Israel's captivity. Jeremiah is another one, and Daniel is the third. So there are these three prophets that wrote during captivity. However, we don't really have any evidence to support that they had interactions with each other. It's theorized by a lot of people that, you know, Ezekiel knew of Daniel and, you know, He even mentions Daniel three times in the book of Ezekiel, twice in chapter 14 and one in chapter 28, I believe it is. He has no mention of Jeremiah, though. But, you know, it's not surprising because they were in different parts of Babylon. They weren't all in the same area. You know, Daniel was in the king's court, Jeremiah was in his captivity, and Ezekiel was, as it says here in the first few verses of Ezekiel, he was by the river Chebar, which is actually a few miles from the city of Babylon itself. So he wasn't actually inside the city of Babylon, but he was near there. So a few things about that. There is some other speculation that in Ezekiel 1:1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year." Most commonly, that's taken to mean that Ezekiel was 30 years old when he began his ministry. Which is interesting because we read that Ezekiel was a priest, and we know from Numbers, we can turn there and actually read it, Numbers 4. Numbers 4, we learn that Ezekiel never would have served in the role of a priest if he had indeed started his ministry at age 30. He would have been taken captive when he was 25. And so Numbers 4 and verse 23, Numbers 4, 23, "From 30 years old and upward until 50 years old shalt thou number them, all that enter in to wait upon the service to do the work in the tent of meeting." So all the priests wouldn't start their temple duties, I guess you could call it, until they reached the age of 30. So Ezekiel would have been taken before this time, so he would have had training in the ways of the temple, but he wouldn't have actually done any priestly services. He wouldn't have actually worked in the temple as of that point in his life, even though he was a priest. Interesting things. You know, not of any particular importance that I know of, but I just found it interesting. Some other things that we know about Ezekiel, the 137th Psalm, Psalm 137, is most usually taken to be the Psalm of the captives that Ezekiel was with. It starts off in the first verse talking about being by the river Chebar and being near Babylon. But it's kind of interesting because in that psalm, there's a lot of weeping, and the captives, the tone of the psalm is more of one of lament in that they've given up. And yet we have here in Ezekiel, Ezekiel is with them and he's seeing all these visions of God. So it's an interesting contrast. All right, so a few things about the book of Ezekiel as a whole. That's some background information on Ezekiel himself. And now we'll look at more parts of the book as a whole. It's been said that out of the three prophets in captivity, Daniel, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, Ezekiel's prophecy can be classified as the most spiritual of the three. He deals more with the person of God than other of the either two. And then some things that I found of interesting ways of looking at different books, these different prophetic books, is that someone has said that if Ezekiel is the prophet of the Spirit, Isaiah is the prophet of the Son, and Jeremiah is the prophet of the Father. So we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, an interesting way of looking at those three prophets. Another way of classifying these prophetic books is that you can look at it as being Isaiah speaks of the salvation of the Lord, Jeremiah speaks of the judgment of the Lord, Daniel speaks of the kingdom of the Lord, and Ezekiel focuses on the glory of the Lord. interesting ways of categorizing things. And we'll see a lot more, particularly in the first chapter, when we get to there, about the glory of the Lord. Okay. So let's see here. Next page. Okay. Other interesting things to note about Ezekiel is that Ezekiel kind of has these parables throughout the book. They're not parables like the Lord Jesus had, where the Lord Jesus spoke parables, right? So he would speak these parables to his disciples and they wouldn't understand and he'd have to explain them. Ezekiel, and we'll actually turn to a verse here in a moment, but the people wouldn't listen to what Ezekiel had to say. So he would act out these parables. So he's acting out all these parables and he would gain attention that way. And we see that in Ezekiel 24, Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 24. Ezekiel 24, 24. Thus shall Ezekiel be unto you a sign, according to all that he hath done, ye shall do. When this cometh, then shall ye know that I am the Lord Jehovah. So this is the Lord saying that Ezekiel is going to be a sign unto them, all these acts and parables that he's going to act out. Okay. So now we've come to a big portion here, the outline or the structure of the book. In different places that I've read, there's a lot of different divisions mentioned. Some divide the book up into two parts, some divide it up into three, some into four, some into more than that. Some have gone chapter by chapter. So there's lots of ways that people have approached this book. So as far as we're concerned, and I actually have an outline to hand out here, if Michael, you'd help distribute that. This is going to be, we're going to follow this broad outline here. Well, we're going to follow it more closely. We're going to go into more detail than is listed here, but this is just kind of, we're going to break the book down into these four sections here. Section 1 is going to include chapters 1 through 24, and we're going to be looking at prophecies of Jerusalem's destruction. Section 2 is chapters 25 through 32, which is prophecies against the nations. Section 3 is chapters 33 through 39, which is prophecies of Israel's blessings. And section 4 is chapters 40 through chapter 48, which is the millennial temple and sacrifices. So these are the four broad sections that we'll be looking at in this book. And you can see underneath of each of those four sections there, I broke them down into smaller sections there, more kind of what I see there. And we may not follow that exactly as how it is, but something close to that, anyways, is the general outline of that we'll be following. Okay. So now I want to talk a little bit about the style of the book. You know, you come and you read different books of the Bible, and oftentimes they're written in various styles. You know, you have Psalms and Proverbs, which are like poetry, prose type of things. You get to, you know, Deuteronomy, where it's just, you know, lists of things and just long pages of text. You know, the New Testament is more conversations and that type of thing, more informal in that sense. So we're going to talk about the style of the book. So Ezekiel uses more symbolism and allegory than any other Old Testament prophet that I can find. And as far as I can tell, it's pretty confusing, symbolism and allegory too. So I'm not saying, you know, that as we go through this, I understand everything. I'm just trying to introduce it, as it were. There are a few symbolic acts that we can look at, for starters, just to kind of get a sense of what I mean by this symbolism. Look at Ezekiel chapter 4. Ezekiel 4, and we'll read starting in verse 1. Ezekiel 4, 1. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it a city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build forts against it, and cast up a mound against it, set camps also against it, and plant battering rams against it round about. And take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face toward it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. So, you know, it's kind of this, you know, weird picture that we have here. Ezekiel's taking this tile and he's drawing, you know, this city on it, and he's making these, you know, pretend forts and armies to march against it. It kind of sounds, you know, like child's play, almost, in a sense. But it's more symbolic than that. You remember that Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem, you know, multiple times, and he besieged it, you know, so this is portraying that, in a sense. So it's this symbolic act of something bigger. And there are many of these throughout the entire book. Other notes on Ezekiel's style. No prophet tells us so much about the manner of his inspiration as Ezekiel does. God's ways were revealed to him in visions, and his visions seem to be pretty frequent. He has numerous visions in the, you know, that we have recorded here. I don't know if that's all of them or not, but there certainly are quite a few. And it's interesting to see, because of this, is that people have made connections between portions in Ezekiel and portions in the book of Revelation. And it's interesting to note. So just to name a few here, some people compare the vision in Ezekiel 1 to the portion in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, which is the scene of the Lamb before the throne, and the four and 20 elders and the living creatures all coming about and singing praise to the Lord. And you have elements of that in Ezekiel chapter 1. And so, and this happens, there are five main ones anyways. There's Ezekiel 1, which is related to Revelation 4 and 5. And again, when we go through the book, we'll look at these in more detail. There's a portion at the beginning of Ezekiel 3, particularly Ezekiel 3:3, and relating that to Revelation 10:10, Ezekiel 8:3, and Revelation 13, verses 14 and 15, Ezekiel 9 and Revelation 7, and Ezekiel 10 and Revelation 8, verses 1 through 5. So just a few connections that are interesting to note. We'll look at them in more detail later. But it's interesting to see that because of the visions that Ezekiel had, he had this sort of clear picture, or clearer than most, I guess, in a sense, of what the glory of God actually was, and how tremendous it was. And that's also brought out in the book of Revelation. We have all those great passages talking about the glory of the Lord. So as far as, you know, the actual writing of the book goes, he kind of ranges between what we might call poetry and prose. So he kind of goes back and forth between these two styles. of writing. So again, for our purposes, we'll be looking at this outline here. And the last thing that I have for tonight is to talk about the purpose of Ezekiel's message. So what's the big purpose of this book? You know, what's the point, as it were? So it's interesting, you know, large divisions of the prophecy that we have deal with judgment on Jerusalem, judgment on the nations before the fall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem fell in 586 BC, if I remember correctly. But then here we have, after the city's capture, the prophet Ezekiel is predicting the blessing and glory for the city of Jerusalem and the nation in the future. So it's kind of a very different tone, as it were. There are also, but it's not all happy things in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel also has some pretty severe denunciations against Judah's spiritual declension, even more so than Jeremiah, I think. And his ministry was to all 12 tribes, so it's not limited to, you know, the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom. It was to everybody in Israel. And his purpose was twofold. First, his purpose was to remind them of the sins which had brought judgment and exile upon them. And secondly, to encourage and strengthen their faith by prophecies of future restoration and glory. So he's reminding them of where they were and telling them, hey, look, you know, this is what's coming down the road if we, you know, repent, get back to God, that kind of thing. So his purpose is twofold in that sense. Another interesting thing to note about the book of Ezekiel is that the figure of the Messiah is not very prominent in the book. Well, it's not as prominent in this book as it is in, say, Isaiah, for instance. Isaiah has large portions, you know, dedicated to our Lord, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 6, so on. But as far as I can tell, and I may be wrong on this, neither the first nor the second coming of our Lord is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, as far as I can see. If you find one, let me know. I'd be interested to see where it is. But as far as I can tell, there isn't one. So just interesting to note, because his focus is not on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it's the glory of the Lord. His focus is on the glory. So I don't think it's that strange that the actual person of the Messiah is not as prominent throughout the book. Lastly, the last thing I want to say tonight is just that it should be an interesting go at the book. I've been kind of studying it for the past 6 months or so, 6-8 months, and there's a lot of difficult things in here, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how the messages turn out, I guess, from my point of view anyways. But yeah, if you have any insights on the book of Ezekiel, I'd love to hear them as well. But so that's kind of an introduction to the book of Ezekiel, a little bit of the history, a little bit about Ezekiel himself. So we have the context of the book. Ezekiel was taken captive during the reign of Jehoiachin, with a C, right, not with a K, and taken to near Babylon, the river's Chebar, right, and that's where the book of Ezekiel was written. That's where his ministry took place, to all the captives that were there. And That's all I have for tonight. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we had this evening, Lord. We thank you for this brief introduction into the book of Ezekiel. We pray that it would be useful to us in the long run. We just pray that what you have in this book would be beneficial to us, Lord, and that we would not forget what we hear here tonight, Lord, but we would take it with us away from here. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.